This is the Screaming Pods Network on ScreamingPods.com.
And now, on with the program.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pilot Project. Today we're doing something a little bit different. Now normally this is the show where we go into the attic of Hollywood behind the Hollywood sign. We open the chest of shadows and we pull out all the terrible, maybe impaired pilots that have come before and we tear them apart.
Why did you tell everyone where those are kept? Because that's going to pretty much
ruin I decided, just like the Weinstein deal, I want to expose all of Hollywood's secrets, including the attic behind the Hollywood sign.
Even ones that benefit our show that... when other people didn't know about.
That's where all the literal bodies are buried, including the chest of shadows. In this case, we're doing something a little bit different. Now, there was a show called Charmed, and that's what we're talking about this week, from 1998. And it's getting a remake next week when this comes out. It'll be the following week, so it'll be 20 years later to the day that it comes out. And I watched the show starting with probably season 4 or 5 when Rose McGowan came on the show down the road. I'd never seen the original pilot, and I decided, well, with the new pilot coming out, let's take a trip back and let's compare the two. So we're going to do 2 full episodes back to back and compare the two.
And just, I'm out of curiosity, what made you pick it up in like season 4?
Was this
around some other show that you were watching or something?
This was the beginning of my dark period. So 98 was when we graduated high school, and I went straight to college. I didn't watch a lot of TV, so I didn't even pick up Buffy until season 2 or 3. So right about when I got out of college was about when season 4 hit. And so I was done with college. I'd gotten fired from my job, and I was working at Best Buy, so I started to pick up more TV. And that's where Charmed, and I got into Buffy and Babylon 5 and stuff like that.
Is that when you lived in the attic with the air conditioning unit by your head?
Right by my head.
Yeah.
Now, that voice you're hearing, I'm Mark. The voice you're hearing there is my sister from Another Mister. That is the man who forgets a key ingredient of all his recipes. That is my very own Piper, Dustin. Dirty, dirty Dustin.
Well, that's going to be really tough when I go try out for MasterChef here in a couple of weeks.
MasterChef Junior, of course.
Right, exactly.
And because we all know that only the power of three can set us free, we are joined by now our very own...
I didn't know that until this last
week. Well, now you know, and knowing is half the battle. Our very own long-lost homeless sister, Phoebe, a.k.a. Angela, from Central Track.
Why am I homeless?
Well, she's homeless in the show.
Oh,
and
okay,
I'm Peru, he's Piper.
For some reason, we have to follow the show plot points to introduce us.
Right. We can't bring you in as Paige, Rose McGowan, because she hasn't come into the show yet. We're talking about season 1.
Yep.
So when we get back to season 4, episode 1, we'll bring you back as Paige.
Oh, okay. But that's not a pilot, though, when
that's true.
Mess up
it's her,
the whole point of the podcast.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
don't ruin this episode.
Burn.
So, first impressions of this show, I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Now, what was your experience with Charmed? Other than me, what was your experience with Charmed?
My experience with Charmed was that you watched Charmed.
So, all right.
I had no experience with this. I'd never seen 1 second of it before this. I knew the basic premise, obviously, based on the title and the previews that were on the old WB back in the day. I think probably
tonight on an all new Charmed.
I think I probably saw ads for that when I was watching Smallville back in the day.
And Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, in Dawson's Creek.
And Felicity.
Yeah. All those, yes. Basically everything that was on WE. except for this show, apparently.
Right.
But yeah, no, I never watched 1 second of it. It just seemed like something I wouldn't be that into, so I just never wandered over there and watched it.
Which is interesting, given the quality that was not Smallville.
Right.
They're about on par with each other, I would say.
That's not a high bar.
I would actually say the acting was better in Charmed than it was in Smallville.
Again, not hard to achieve.
I did not watch this either. I was in middle school when this came out.
Wow.
I was an eighth grader.
Kind of youngin'.
Whatever. I did not watch this, but in watching it, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun a little bit, my friends and I would watch The Craft a lot, like after when we had sleepovers, like after the parents went to bed, because it was not, we couldn't watch it. It was just like, ooh, it's witchcraft. Ooh, what are we going to do? You know, whatever. And a couple of us definitely had Ouija boards for some random reason. I think it's because we watched The Craft, but I knew of it and had seen previews, but I never actually watched the show.
And the show was built to capitalize on The Craft.
Absolutely.
And they actually share a theme song. The original theme song for Charmed that was not... So you can watch this on Netflix. If you want to watch this for some reason, before you listen to this, you can watch it on Netflix or Amazon. And it has the intro from season 7 and 8 when they lost the rights to the Smith song, How Soon Is This Now, that was covered by Love Spit Love. Hmm. So I could play that right now. The original theme song is way better than the generic crap that they tossed out in seasons 7 and 8. This is the original. So that was the original theme song, and then you compare that to this generic crap. Very bland, much like the supporting cast of the show.
Yes, it's very all generic. The same. Yes,
yeah.
Very garage band, but rock.
Yeah,
God, it's so angsty.
But the Smith song. I mean, that was to me was an advantage for them to get. I mean, Buffy, with the inevitable comparison of Buffy, had Nerf Herder doing their theme song, which was had a great California rock hook to it, and this one wasn't. You know, building off that craft popularity, Practical Magic, of course. Everybody loves Sandra Bullock.
Anything in the Smiths genre, I mean,
it speaks to this.
Fits that kind of,
but they had an instant hook, you know, with that theme song because everybody recognized it. It's a song you can rock to and mope out to, and you know, it just hooked you instantly compared to that. And you know, it really just when I turned it on, I was like super bummed out when that did not come on.
Yeah.
It was just this generic crap because I didn't remember the generic theme song from 7 and 8. I don't think I watched it. I think I watched it like starting in 4, and then when I was working at Best Buy,
yeah,
and then I didn't ever, I don't think I made it all the way through.
Gotcha.
Towards the end. Towards 7 and 8, it was getting really bad. Like when Julie McMahon from Nip Tuck was on there,
mm-hmm.
and they brought in like angels and demons and white lighters. They're called white lighters in the show.
No.
And their kids from the future came in. And
no.
Kaylee Cuoco was on there.
What? She, what is happening? Yeah, I already don't
in
like
season
this.
8, they brought Kaylee Cuoco to be a young witch to take pressure off the cast so they could take more vacation time.
Yeah.
So
when did John Hamm come on?
I don't remember John Hamm being on there. I'd have to go back and watch the entire thing again. I'm not going to do that.
Was he really on there?
He really was.
Yeah. What?
Apparently at some point.
I guess guest stars, you can always find some fun cameos in like these 90s shows when these actors were trying to find work.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was back when he was an acting teacher, I believe. So yeah, like I said, this was 1998. It had a total of 8 seasons and 178 episodes. Now, this is obviously way more successful than we usually do, but like I said, we're doing the reboot versus original comparison on this. And the show had a lot of trouble in drama-wise in the behind the scenes. Like,
right.
And I think that hate between the cast members really came out on screen during the pilot.
Yes.
But we can talk about that. It was directed by John T. Kretschmer, who was a veteran of Buffy, Lois and Clark, and Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. It was written by Constance M. Burge, who created the show Savannah earlier in the 90s. And then she also wrote for Judging Amy, Ally McBeal. And now she's writing for USA's Royal Pains, which I am not familiar with. Now, the IMDb description for this first episode, which is called Something Wicked This Way Comes, yes.
Wasn't Aaron Spelling like an executive producer on this
thing? Yeah, he was an executive producer, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a Spelling production for sure, which Shannon Doherty had worked for with 90210.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the IMDb description for this is the title. First of all, this person, Elmo Rocks 1283, gives it a 10 out of 10, the greatest episode ever, don't miss it. Oh, this is a doozy this time. Here we go.
This isn't as good as the one from Mayans.
Well, not quite as good. Two sisters, Piper and Prue, live together in their house in San Francisco, but without warning, their third sister, Phoebe, comes back to live with them. Phoebe goes up to the attic and finds a book of witchcraft. The book is called the Book of Shadows. Phoebe reads an incantation in the book, and then all sisters receive magical powers. Phoebe, the power of premonition; Piper, the power to freeze time; and Prue, the power to move things with their mind. Later, the sisters find out that their mother, Penny, and their grams were witches. They don't want their powers at first, but then realize T is their destiny. Phoebe wants to keep her powers, but Prue and Piper aren't sure. So there you go.
It's not quite the plot I got from watching it, but there's elements.
Same thing.
Yeah, there's elements of there in there, yeah, for sure. And the cast is Shannon Doherty as Prue. She, of course, from Beverly Hills 90210, Heathers, and Mallrats. Holly Marie Combs, who you probably were only familiar with from Picket Fences, if you watched that show.
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano, of course, from Who's the Boss, and of course, My Teenage Dreams. T.W. King, you probably don't know him from anything. He plays Andy Trudeau, who is the witch cop in this, the guy that goes to all the witch shops in the beginning.
Yes.
And then Dorian Gregory as Daryl Morris, who is the funny cop, allegedly funny cop.
Witch cop.
Quote, unquote, funny cop.
Yeah, funny in quotes. Yeah.
Witch cop and funny cop.
Right.
And this show is very, very 90s, as you said.
Oh,
my gosh. It is baked, well-baked
yes.
in the 90s.
Yes.
The fashion, Angela mentioned before
we
started.
Oh, the fashion.
It has a very Friends look to it. I mean,
it does.
Like, the guys have the suit pants that are kind of hiked up really billowy. And
every guy is wearing something that is about three sizes too large for them.
Which was a very 90s thing
to
do. Everybody, you know, wore gigantic clothes for some reason.
It's like all the girls shared the same closet, like 90s shows all shared the same closet, because you could take those outfits off of any of the sisters and put them on, like, Rachel and stuff from Friends, and it'd be the exact same thing.
Everybody owned it.
But,
yeah. I would say none of their outfits seem to cover their abdomens very often.
Yeah, a lot of crop tops, a lot of tight crop tops.
Low V-neck sweaters, like long sleeves, but, like, low cut, and then the kind of bob haircut.
Right.
Alyssa Milano was kind of the epitome of all blending all that fashion into one person in this. And, it was a marvel to see, much like going back to the original episode of Friends, which we'll probably do someday on the show, but, like, I was expecting a sweater vest. Got no sweater vest.
No.
Unfortunately.
That was unfortunate.
It is later 90s.
Yeah, it's true.
So, it's slowly evolved in sweater vest.
Although Chandler was still in the sweater vest in 98, wasn't he? I feel like he was.
I don't know. He evolved out of it at some point.
Yeah.
Remember, that started in 94, so.
Was it 94? I thought it was 96.
Yeah. It was 94. Okay. They had a few years to
So we're probably well past the sweater vest at this point. All right, fair enough. That's unfortunate. We should bring that back. Hipsters start wearing sweater vests again. this I will say one thing for the show is that it really moves. It felt like
it
was 43-ish minutes, and I moved along. Unlike the other shows we've done, it really moved along, and I was surprised that it was done when it was done. It moved along at a really good pace.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of downtime. That's true.
I mean, they went from beat to beat to beat.
And I will say, you know, the first half of it actually set up like a pretty decent, complete show.
Yeah.
It was, like you say, it was pretty succinct.
Yeah.
The acting wasn't really terrible. The cops were kind of bad in the beginning.
They were terrible.
They're awful.
In the beginning, they were terrible throughout.
Well, yeah, they were terrible throughout. But I'm saying, like, when you got away from that scene, I think as the show went on and you actually introduced the main characters, it was okay. Like, Alyssa Milano showing up at the house and their little sister drama and all that. Like, it set up okay. Once we start getting into the actual magic, not as good.
Yeah.
But I think it was at least decent.
You mean every scene without the sisters was bad? Because that's pretty much
that's pretty much true. Yeah.
If they're in it, it's great. And it's very compelling. And surprised how much, like, character work there was. Like, you knew the relationships between them really fast. Like, who was the leader? Who was the peacemaker? Who was the rebel child? And I was pleasantly surprised how it was directed and everything.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the casting was spot on. It was interesting because originally Shannon Doherty was going to play Piper, and Holly Marie Combs was going to play Prue. And I think flipping it was really the right. I mean, given, like, I feel like that character, Shannon Doherty's character, is like a nicer version of who she is in real life.
Probably.
Because it just kind of, like, it reminds me very much of her, of Brenda from 90210. Just very, I don't know, a little rough around the edges, very blunt.
Yeah.
Doesn't put up with a lot of shit.
Is the leader,
but also tiresome.
A little assy.
Wears on you quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, comparing, I watched part of the original pilot. The Alyssa Milano was not the first choice for Phoebe. It was originally an actress named Lori Rahm who left after the original pilot. And comparing their two performances, like, Alyssa Milano was way better than Lori Rahm was. She was very flat and very one note.
Lori Rahm from anything?
No, not really. Not really. But yeah, once you get away from those three acting together or two of them in a room together, the whole thing just starts to fray around the edges very quickly.
Even yeah. With the middle sister and her, quote, boyfriend, it was like, obviously, you could see, because you know plot points, you could see that scene coming from a mile away that he's actually a warlock.
He's a warlock.
Yeah. Like, you could tell. But even that is not as good unless, yeah, at least two of the sisters are together, or all three of them are together.
Yeah, the guys are just kind of...
Oh, and the chef.
Oh, God.
That chef guy was awful.
I was going to say, the chef was awful, and the guy that worked with Prue at the museum or whatever it was.
Yeah,
yeah, Roger.
Choked by his tie twice. So, that guy was terrible.
One of the things, I want to play a clip of, because I got a clip of the French chef, because I thought he was really bad.
Yeah.
Your time is up. Let's see. Roast pork with carton of Florence fennel and penne with the port giblet sauce, eh?
Chef Moore.
What?
The port.
Yes, without it, the sauce is nothing more than a salty marinara, a recipe from a woman's magazine.
It's like he's in a different show.
Yes.
Like, this is a serious, kind of, I would say, some pretty serious, like, family sort of drama.
Right.
Sort of family. Yeah. And he is straight. I don't even know what it's. He's like an SNL character.
He's playing
something.
It very broad.
Yeah.
Like some Disney
weird.
Movie. He's like a Disney chef or something.
But it's not even. It's so broad. It's just instantly.
I see him come on. It's silly. It's like over the top silly.
It is silly. Yeah. Yeah. Like he did it as a joke and they're like, that's brilliant. But yeah. It's not brilliant.
The first syllable out of his French syllable out of his mouth, I was like, oh, God. No. Yeah, it was terrible. And, you know, between him, all the guys in the show are terrible.
They're awful.
They're all awful. Like, instantly when Jeremy comes on the screen as the reporter in the beginning. So the whole setup for this is, at the very beginning, a witch, quote-unquote witch, is murdered.
Right.
And near her witch altar. And this reporter shows up on the screen, Jeremy, who turns out to be Piper's boyfriend. And instantly, I was like, that guy's the murderer. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. He's just a creep. He's kind of a creepy looking guy.
He was maybe the best of the bad supporting cast, yeah. But he still wasn't great. Like, nobody in there is very good.
Yeah. He was, yeah. Nobody, everybody was kind of just, blah.
I'm picking from the choices we have.
Yeah.
Not to say he's good, but I'm saying the best of the crap that we had to choose from.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. You know, the whole the French chef thing is like one of the messages of the show is supposed to be yay feminism of the time. It's supposed to be very pro. So, I mean, I don't know that we can comment on it, but we're not really qualified. So as a woman, how do you feel about the feminism of the show?
I should speak for all females. Yeah.
Speak
from
for everybody.
The 90s.
I'm just saying you're the woman in the room.
The
it's true. It is funny thinking back with the 90s with like Practical Magic and The Craft and this, that we had to get yay feminism by being witches.
Right.
Like, which is still, you know, the connotation from history is not super positive and everything. But no, like the relationship with them and even with the other two movies, the relationship between the female characters are really strong and they're not always talking about guys and they're, you know, more invested in worrying about each other and like figuring stuff out together as opposed to worrying about like where their boyfriends are or something like that.
Which I read is one of the problems as the show goes along that they start focusing on relationships and boyfriends and things.
Well,
it made it not as good.
Part of it, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
No, I know.
I mean,
I know.
You can only have so many conflicts between the sisters.
Right.
And so I understand that. Once the creator left the show after season two or three, the guy who was the showrunner, who wrote most of the episodes, actually, even throughout the series, he kind of went in a different direction, and he brought in more. That's when Julian McMahon from Nip/Tuck came in as a half-demon. And anyways, yeah, they definitely went more down the relationship route.
They made it like a Supernatural / Charmed.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely more romance-y, relationship-y.
Yeah.
Not as much. I mean, there was still always that bond between the sisters and their inner conflicts, but they brought in more characters.
Right.
And
it doesn't sound nearly as interesting.
It's not, you know, and I was, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by, I won't say I loved this pilot, but I thought it was an okay start. It was better than I thought it had the right to be.
I kind of wished that they did not reveal the killer, because at first I didn't think they were going to reveal who the killer was. I was like, oh, okay, so this won't be like a monster of the week sort of show. And I don't know if it ever ends up that way or not. But the fact that it was the boyfriend like right away, I'm like, you know, I wish they had at least drug it out for half a season or big season finale or something. But that, you know, that was kind of the make of like those shows back then. It was kind of like Monster of the Week sort of deal.
Yeah.
But I haven't, again, I haven't watched enough of it at all other than the pilot to know if that keeps happening.
Yeah, it made it look like it was obviously him and then had a left turn and then later on it was him or something. Like it would have been, you know.
I mean, at least give us some red herring. Yeah. It would have been nice.
Yeah.
It does turn into, I mean, it is a Monster of the Week show for the first two seasons, much like Buffy was in many respects. And that's one of the changes that when Brad Kern took over, Constance Burge always made it a Monster of the Week, and one of the reasons Shannon Doherty left was she was tired of making the same show over and over again.
Yeah.
And so once Doherty left and Burge left, he turned it into more of a serialized drama where each half of the season was its own story.
So that's actually a better...
Yeah, that's a better idea.
And then the network pushed back on him and made him go back to more of a blended approach in later seasons, but... Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I understand why a lot of sci-fi shows have to go to Monster of the Week in the beginning, because you're trying to establish your universe. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Not every show can be, you know, like Battlestar, where you're instantly like one giant arc throughout. That's hard to pull off, and I understand that.
Yeah, sure.
It's also tiresome in some respects.
And shows of that era, I mean, Smallville, we talked about that earlier. That was a Monster of the Week type show for a long time.
Crypto Freak of the Week.
But like the plot... when you look back on it, doesn't hold up well because we're so used to that plot, that arc, that we can figure everything out right away.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, shows have evolved and they're not like that anymore. And those shows don't really last.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the plot, like that part was not interesting because you knew who it was.
Yeah.
From the moment he walked on screen, you're like, it's that guy.
Hell, even a good show like Justified, it was like a criminal of the week for the first season, and then they finally like, oh yeah, it's better to have arcs.
it's better to have big arcs instead of small ones.
Yeah,
I think that's where TiVo coming on the scene back in the day really helped TV, is because people could invest more time when they were able to go, if they didn't have to set up a VCR to tape, you know, and everybody wanted to go through that pain in the ass.
You definitely did.
I definitely did.
Yeah. Me too.
But not everybody wanted to do that. And so TiVo really helped that situation. So people could invest more in those arcs. So I understand why they did more episodic stuff, because, you know, people could just check in and check out from week to week.
Yeah. And you forget. Like,
yeah, you forget details, and
it's weird to think that we had to, well, not we still have to deal with some shows, but you can binge lots of shows now.
Yeah,
like they'll just drop on Netflix and then you can just watch the whole thing at once. But it's weird, like all shows were week to week, and so you could check out and not remember that you had already seen this show already.
And just a side commentary on that, I wonder if they're gonna always do that, or because there has been some talk, you know, we listened to this radio show and they talked about this a lot recently, that it's kind of killed that community vibe when you drop all the shows at once, because you can't discuss anything because you have no idea where people are in shows, and like people wait, like, oh, I'm going to wait like a month to watch
the water cooler, the water cooler effect.
Like you kind of, and maybe that's killed a little bit of buzz on things on occasion.
I think so.
But instead of having that week to week, like community vibe, basically.
I could see, yes. Some shows, it is much better when you watch it week to week. But I think the compromise to that is only having like 10 or 12 shows as opposed to 22 or like 28 or something. Because some of them, like there's so many episodes. Would you say 170?
178 total.
That is so many.
22 to 24 per season.
Yeah. So having like 10 episodes a season where, and then doing that week to week, people will invest for 10 weeks. They're not going to invest for like 6 months.
I guess my example would be, not to just go down this road too far, but like how everybody was so excited about Breaking Bad in the last season. Everybody was like hanging on it week to week. Like a show like Ozark, I think, could benefit from something like that if it was like a weekly release and people were talking about
Handmaid's Tale has benefited from that.
Yes. Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. Stuff like that. I think those type of shows. Because
you can't watch that show in a binge watch.
Yeah.
You would just be in a corner crying.
You end up putting a gun to your head.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, 10, 12 episode shows, I think, would benefit from that.
Okay, anyway. Castle Rock on Hulu, or the first man, or first, whatever it's called, the Sean Penn, where he's an astronaut going to Mars or whatever. I mean, that, you know, I haven't seen that yet, but they're also doing that episodically, I think.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
I think Netflix just doesn't care. I think they're the ones that just drop it. Everybody else.
Them and Amazon.
Yeah. Like Hulu doesn't. I think they've learned to do that. And then obviously all the HBO stuff. But
yeah, HBO doesn't care. And, well, I mean, they do care, obviously, because they're keeping it up to week. And they still adhere to that, I think, that old like Labor Day rule where they don't put a new episode on Labor Day.
What?
Which is so weird. Which is the old TV way of you don't put it out on holidays.
They're like sweeps week. Like, yeah. Get all the ratings.
Yeah. I don't know if they adhere as much to sweeps, but.
They don't put stuff out on holidays. That's true.
Yeah. Which is so bizarre. Which is such a bummer.
But we digress.
Anyway, we do. So
back to the main road here.
I want to go back to the magic because it sucks in the show.
It is so bad.
It's interesting in the beginning because the way the show starts off with this terrible chant, we should say, the one the witch gets killed, she's like this Benedict yeah. show. The opening scene is this lady.
But
and,
that magic is cool.
Well, it makes, I mean, it's more what you expect out of magic, right?
Yes.
Ritual. She lights like 87 candles in the first, yeah. the first 5 minutes is her just lighting candles.
But the way it was shot, it was really cool. Like for 98, like
where she's lighting with her fingers.
Yeah,
you mean?
Yeah. 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 The chant was really bad.
Yeah. Let me play that real quick. That piece of garbage.
Master of moon and sun, I shield you in my Wiccan way, here in my circle round, asking you protect this space and offer your sun force down.
Yeah, I have a note to Wiccans out there. If you ever want me to be a man witch, you got to change some shit up. I will not chant like that.
No,
I need some intonation. I need some beats.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like chanting. It sounds like singing. Like yeah. you're trying. She's trying to sing, like a hymn almost in a really weird way,
like a Benedictine right. monk or something.
Yeah,
but not. But
yes,
not good.
Yeah, but yeah, not.
Yeah. It's like got a rhythm, but then it could be any amount of words inside
yes,
of it.
Exactly. I'm going to speak about Arbor Day.
It's like they filmed
Morum
it.
Ipsum
they
dolor
filmed it, and then someone's like, ooh, you should sing it. And yeah. then that's like the right. cut that they took. Is well, that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Holly Marie Combs said they didn't want to do a lot of true witchcraft, quote unquote. Because they didn't want to get it wrong. They didn't want to be too technical. But then they opened the show with something that seems very technical.
Is that real? Like, yeah. is that more true witchcraft?
I don't know. I don't know what true witchcraft looks like.
I'm sure there's could be consultants for this that well, help
and
them.
They had a demonologist on staff.
Ooh, that's right. a fun title.
So why didn't they get a real Wiccan
yeah.
on staff?
Yeah.
That would have made
know.
More sense.
Yeah.
Because the magic in here is super sketchy. Like, it makes yeah. no sense.
Well, and they... So the sisters... come to the conclusion of what they have to do very quickly.
Yeah.
And
very quickly.
No, very fast, considering they're like, no, we're not witches. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Wait, we're witches. What?
Yeah, yeah. Even though was it their mom that gave them like a handcrafted Ouija board?
Yeah,
that
it was
like inscription on the back.
It looked like it was made out of like an oak tree trunk and yeah. polished, you know, like
and
a thousand
like,
times.
Oh, mother. Like it was. Surely they knew, right?
Of course
right.
they knew.
You would think.
Oh, that's what gets. I mean, as Elmo rocks there revealed in, you know, in his description on IMDb, Grams and mom were witches. So, first yeah. of all, terrible parenting from both of them. The fact that they knew these three were probably the chosen ones. There's three of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are descended from Melinda Warren, is the witch's name from the Salem witch trials. What?
Okay.
Yeah. Like a suburban soccer mom name, Melinda Warren.
Yeah.
Sounds like
Warren.
An office character.
Sounds Brody and Braden.
Exactly. And Caden.
yeah.
with like three C's.
Yeah, exactly.
50 Y's. Yeah, so... they would know that they were probably going to be some sort of witch. Why didn't they warn them at all? Like, a way to not protect your kids.
Or teach them. I thought yeah. it was going to go down the path where maybe they were kind of taught this as kids. Mm. And then, like, one of them, who's the youngest? Is it Piper?
Phoebe.
Yeah.
Phoebe.
Decided she didn't want any of it. So that's why she left. And so yeah. that's why their powers don't work. And then she comes back. And then their powers work again. You know, that sort of stuff. Or
that would have been interesting.
Or they could have flashbacks, like as a kid, where they could freeze time or move things and they didn't know what was wrong. But
yeah.
none of that happened.
No.
Instead, Phoebe just rides a bike and then sees a terrible black and white flash forward.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then, yeah.
To another 90s
but
thing.
Not-
kids actually enjoying rollerblading.
right, true.
but not like flash, like a full 30 seconds
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
what happens, which I don't think that's how that would work. I don't know. I'm not Wiccan, but I would assume that that's not what actually would happen.
I would hope my visions would be in color, too.
Why yeah, that's true.
Low down.
yeah. yeah, which, by the way, why did she go to the hospital? I mean, she just, like, laid her bike down. She didn't break anything.
Yeah.
She didn't seem to be...
Check, concussion.
There was
no
bandages.
See,
I mean,
this is what I'm talking about. This is where it starts to turn. When the powers yeah. show up, that's when it gets worse.
So magic ruins everything.
So Prue yeah. could run into that one guy? That's why.
Yeah,
that's why they were at the hospital.
The inspector, and we had to get the full exposition about why San Francisco calls them inspectors versus detectives, because they're weirdos.
Because we care about
Because, like,
that.
We're supposed to care about that crap.
You know how much I cared? I don't remember that. That's how much I paid attention to that part.
Yeah, So the witchcraft starts out with, okay, they find a book of spells. Yep. Okay, makes sense. They go into the Attic of Shadows. They find the Chest of Shadows. They open the Chest of Shadows. She pulls out the Book of Shadows, which, yep, by the way, why did she just close it? There was like a full Encyclopedia Magica set in the Chest of Shadows. Like a full Encyclopedia of Shadows was in there. She just pulls out the top book.
Right.
That's all. She doesn't invest in the other tomes that are inside.
So much in there.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been more than just like one spell to give us powers.
Or weapons. Weapons against like,
an anathema or whatever the fuck it's called.
Other stuff Graham and could have explained to them.
Exactly.
At some point.
Rude, yes.
Totally.
A family
rude.
Tree that goes, you know, all the way. No, I don't know.
Why not? I mean, there's an entire encyclopedia in there. Why not?
Yeah.
Maybe she just pulled out one volume. It just seems rather short sighted. And then the other thing is, from what I remember, and I could be wrong, but it seems like most of the spells throughout the show, back when I watched this and I was questioning myself, why the hell was I watching this show back in the day? But it seemed like they always had to do their spells together, much like in the end when they did the Power of Three thing. Like, they always had to say their spells together. But yet Phoebe is able to activate all their powers and create some bad Photoshop by saying the spell by herself to give all of them powers.
Right.
And she always speaks in the we during that spell. Do you remember this part?
No.
Okay, so she opens the Chest of Shadows, pulls it out.
When she's in the attic, right?
When she's in the attic by herself, turns on the disco lights, and the spell does some bad Photoshop to move their sisters closer together in a picture.
And
she's speaking by herself. And then she's like, I know the rudiments of magic. This is the perfect night to do magic.
I think I was more caught up on the fact that she opened the book and knew magic automatically.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing I couldn't get past was like, she automatically knows that if we're going to do a spell, tonight's the perfect night to do it. It's about timing and moon phases and
so
stuff.
I remember the picture thing, and my impression, which could be wrong, was it was one of those like sort of just visuals that now they've moved, I don't know, now that they're closer together or something. Not that she did that, but it was like magic force is like, oh, the chosen ones have combined forces now, and that's what it was.
I guess I don't remember that particular.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I remember if we're talking about just bad effects. I remember later when the guy turns into a demon and his face shrinks. that looks terrible.
Oh, when it like twists or whatever.
But
yeah.
I don't really remember. I don't really remember the Photoshop picture.
And they pitch down his voice.
Yeah, exactly.
30 octaves.
All the green screens. Do you remember that when everybody's frozen?
With Frenchy Chef. Yeah, yes. That was hilarious. So the witchcraft is very sketchy because they don't really, they do a spell later when they try to stop the demon Jeremy, Warlock Jeremy.
Yeah.
And which I guess all warlocks are men, and which I think is the case. And I guess that means all men are evil. And I guess this is more yay feminism.
Yeah,
I guess.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
That's why he had him, like I'm pointing out to you, why they had him call them bitch like over and over again too. Yeah.
Bitch!
Rude.
Bitch!
Yeah. How much of an ass he is.
Yeah.
But you know, even before that, Prue... a lot of her magic makes the least sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there's times when she's choking this guy in his tie multiple times.
Which she doesn't know.
Yeah, which she doesn't know. But then later on, she can move the coffee closer to her, which is fine. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But then, magically, the milk is in there, and she heats it up all the
time. Well, not only that, but she says at the beginning of the scene, where is the cream?
And it fills into her
and
coffee.
It automatically... Yeah. So her magic has an intelligence of its own to where it just gives things to her.
The thing that she wants.
Isn't she the most powerful one, supposedly?
I guess.
Sure seems
so. I would assume so.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, Shannon Doherty.
Yeah.
Straight up bitch, right?
Yeah.
Well, and then their powers... She's like, oh, our powers are getting stronger. I'm like, it's been 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, well, how strong is this going to be tomorrow?
She's going to be a god by the end.
Yeah, it was just... It's not a lot of time passed, and that was really strange. And a lot of the powers don't have, like, obviously consequences, which is hard to do with anything, right?
So
any sort of powers, and then the rules are hard to establish.
Right.
Very easily broken.
But it's like, they're not really witches, they're mutants. They just have powers. Why does it make them witches, per se?
They got a book.
That's true. They have
until the end when they do the encyclopedia chants and stuff.
Yeah, but again,
before that, it is kind of like mutant powers.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. There was more mutants.
Can we talk about the last chant, which made no sense?
Of course. Like, you mean this one, the Power of Three?
Yeah.
Come on, we've got to get together. Power of Three will set us free. The Power of Three will set us free. The Power of Three will set us free. The Power of Three will set us free.
I am one of millions. In places you can't even imagine it for, you would never believe. We are hell on this earth. You will never be safe. And you will never be free.
Okay, I don't... It's because... is it Phoebe remembered, somebody remembered the carving or the message on the back of the nice Ouija board that their mom gave them. And so they just start chanting that and they have no idea what that does.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, I remember that inscription. Let's say it.
Yeah. Like what if that split time or something? Right. You know what,
They have no idea what the repercussions are.
Or if it did nothing.
Yeah.
Like before they needed a book and now they just could chant that. I don't know how many times, and then destroy a warlock. Like, it just didn't make a lot of sense.
That's the end of the show. Like, they're chanting that. It doesn't work. The warlock just kills them.
Creates a rip in space-time and destroys the Earth, and that's the end of the show. Yeah,
destroys Earth's done. It's like, I don't want to spoil a movie.
Now, my favorite part with the warlock has to be when he reveals himself, have twist face, which, whatever, it's 90s effects. And then on top of that, he busts out his hand, and it's like they got multiple lighters or something behind his fingers.
Well, he got...
Look at my tiny flames from my hand.
He got the powers from Benedictine Witch from the opening scene, because remember, she could light candles. Yeah, so now he has candle finger.
Yeah, that was the point, because they absorb their powers, which is what the point was. And then his spikes. No. Oh, was that what they were stabbing him? Did they do some sort of voodoo doll?
I couldn't figure that out. Yeah, they were that was the one spell they actually did in this was some sort of
But why did he get like?
Well, that was when they.
Why did he look like he had shrapnel all over him?
Yeah, they took a silly putty man and threw him in a fire in a brazier, how do you say that? Not a brazier, a brazier, whatever. You know, where you set the things on fire, you do spells in it. A brazier,
And then Phoebe had a black and white flash to him getting burned on the and knew that he was still coming. Apparently,
I don't know if that was revealing his
messed up.
Yeah, I don't know if that was revealing his true nature or if that is him getting injured. And I didn't really make that connection either.
I didn't either. No,
I don't know. Yeah, I was like, okay,
it was a little weak.
The face twist thing was
really the magic ruins everything in the show. And by the way, what is up with that fucking cat? So Benedictine Witch in the beginning.
I don't know, man. That cat is the root of all the evil.
I think the cat is the problem in the show.
It's and then the they're acting, just like, the I found a cat.
Yeah,
now it's their cat.
So, if you haven't seen this episode,
that has a collar on it. Also.
And the witch, it has the same symbol on its collar that the Benedictine witch had, which is a Christian, a Celtic Trinity symbol. And
as you do,
And so this cat just shows up intermittently throughout the show.
Yep.
Not necessarily. You would think, okay, if it was a harbinger of activation of powers, then it would show up every time a power is activated. But it wasn't.
Or protecting. If something like that. That's fine.
But it did. It just showed up at random times. It didn't make sense.
I don't think rules apply
to the cat?
Show or to anything.
Yeah, not to the show at all.
So magic is fine, and even cheesy magic's fine, but you have to have rules to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, and that's hard to set from the beginning, especially if you want to change them later. But if they had rules with it, I don't think it would be as big a deal with what's going on.
Yeah, because there are no rules. They just kind of making up as they go along.
Like, I would have been fine to destroy the warlock. Like, they're trying to hold him off, and then somebody finds a book and then, like, flips to how to destroy a warlock. Like, something like that would even be better and make more sense than what they did.
Yeah, like, they should have been looking that up while they were doing the other thing. Or
not
like,
staring at the door.
Right, exactly.
That's not very pro-feminism. Like, what are we going to do? Don't stare at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, the cat, and we should mention that, so at the very end, there's no mention of Phoebe finding this cat. The cat is just there, and she's holding the cat in the last scene. There is no mention of the cat, like, they're getting acquainted with the cat. And I believe the cat is not there for the rest of the show. At least as when I don't remember the cat being around in the later seasons. So I don't know what happens in season 1, 2, and 3.
I thought there was a throwaway line about the cat being lost.
I don't know. I watched it twice, and I don't remember.
Do you remember? Okay. Maybe I made that up. I don't know.
I think you were trying to fill in the gaps of the plot.
It's not there for the rest of the show.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was there. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think it was there.
Wasn't that near the end of the show though? That they finally had it in the house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it shows up throughout the show in the very last
episode. It's at the car wreck. Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But in the very last season, when a cardboard cop comes up to the house to ask Prue out on a date, Phoebe's just holding the cat with no explanation of where they got the cat.
Yeah, they could have easily set. Like, brings you powers, danger.
Yeah. Right.
No, because he's hissing at him. Like, he kind of, he like meows at the cop. Like, he glares at the cop.
Yeah. Like, the cat should have been a familiar. Like, explain the familiar connection.
I could have sworn earlier they talked about that the cat had shown up and they had it in the house and then it was there at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
There is a line. I promise there is a line.
I guess I was just so angry at the cat. I just don't remember that.
But it is as simple as oh, here's a lost cat I found. Exactly. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's really...
It's not anything with the collar. Like, I don't understand.
Well, in the original pilot...
You're focusing on it so damn much.
Exactly. You expect to have a more explanation. And in the original pilot with Lori Rahm, the even worse actor that played Gennaro Cop, he was like... He at least made the connection. He's like, hey, that cat looks familiar. And he, like, gives it a double take, and then he walks away, like... General Cop 2.
Also would be great.
Yeah.
Because
he was at the crime scene.
Yeah. That would also make sense.
Makes sense. Because you would think he's seen the cat with the collar before with the distinctive collar. Maybe he'd make the connection.
Well, yeah, the murder victim has a cat and then we can't find it again. And, you know, yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
And this is the problem with those cops. These stupid, stupid cops. So, I guess the power of three will set us free. The power of three will set us free.
The lights just went out.
Uh-oh.
Well, we still got recording power.
Do we?
Yeah, it's still recording. It's just on battery.
So you should keep this in here because this is funny.
Yeah, sweet. We lost all power, so the power of three is going to set us free. We're sitting here in the dark.
Yep.
I'm suddenly very scared. Maybe the cat's coming to take its revenge on us. So, yeah, these cops. So, in the beginning, they mentioned that, like, five other women had been killed. In a similar fashion.
Yeah, that is a lot.
And yet, Funny Cop, who, by the way, is on the show for 7 seasons.
Oh, my gosh.
The other cop, Gennaro Cop, is gone after 1 season.
See, I would have thought it had been the opposite.
You would think so.
Oh, Wicked, like, the witch cop is on there for longer?
No. The witch cop is only on there for 1 season. Oh, okay, Funny Cop, the guy that makes fun of him for going to all the magic occult shops.
Yeah.
He's on there for 7 seasons.
Like, he's strangely sarcastic for, like, five women to have been murdered.
And they all have the same tattoo, and they all have shared, like, magic rituals, and he's scoffing at him like...
Yeah. Oh, ho, 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 witches.
Like, aren't you an inspector detective? Like,
inspector?
I mean, aren't you supposed to be making these... Why are you scoffing at this guy that's made the only logical connection?
Well, yeah. After five.
Yeah, after five.
Now, deaths. I could maybe see if they had two, if this was the second one, and he's, like, scoffing or whatever. That's fine.
Yeah. Right.
But after five, you're doing a very poor job of
this. You're a terrible, terrible detective. No wonder everybody's getting killed. It's because of you.
Yes, he is pretty terrible.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing the flashlight out. I appreciate that. You're gonna need that, too, here.
Wait, did the warlock boyfriend, he knew that they were... the chosen ones, right?
Yeah. He was just waiting for their powers to be revealed.
That's so weird.
Yes.
Well, he had been...
Oh, there we go.
Oh, the power of three set us free!
Back.
Hooray!
Yay!
Yeah, so he had been stalking Graham, who died before the show started, right? She's the one that gave them the house. He had been stalking her because he supposedly, once she died, their powers would activate.
Okay.
That was his throwaway line of exposition. So, yeah, that was that. He'd been stalking them. We may lose it again. Yep. Let's keep chanting, guys. The power of three will set us free. The power of three will set us free. So that was that. He'd been stalking Graham and waiting. I don't know why he had to go. Why he had to wait? Why didn't he just tackle Graham and take her powers? Did she have all three?
A lot of stuff that doesn't make sense.
And wouldn't you think that maybe, like, why didn't Mom have powers?
Also, why did he? Oh, he waited so their powers would activate. That's right.
Yeah.
He's also really bad at trying to kill her.
Yes.
Like, really bad at it. Like, stop talking. You know, if you're good, like, they talk way too much.
For a guy who's killed five other women, you think he'd have to be a little better at it.
Like, he just walked up to the one at the beginning and just killed her.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even talk. I mean, she knew him. Yeah. Oh, was he dating all of them?
I don't know. Good question.
Oh, gross. What a
typical
jerk.
Man.
God.
Yay, feminism.
Well, because she's like, oh, it's you. Like, oh, he totally was. I just made that connection.
Yeah. He was,
he was
getting that anathema and putting it in her cauldron.
But, and again, he's stalking these women to steal their powers, right?
Right.
So yes.
I would assume he has some kind of idea what they
Who's
do.
Who's the list? Where's the list? Yeah. Like, how does he know this?
Well, that, and then on top of that, like, if he knows she can freeze time, why doesn't he just... stab her in the elevator without
Does
talking.
Does he know what their powers are?
No, I don't know.
He probably knows. He probably
they have something.
Yeah, he knows they have something. He doesn't know who.
Well, he picked the wrong sister.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, that's for sure. Should have killed Phoebe for sure.
So is he stuck? Okay, now I'm really interested in this one. So because the girl at the beginning was killed, and then like the sisters come back, like that's all within like a day or two.
Right.
So he was probably dating, and it seems like the other five. Were all recent also. So he was courting all six of these ladies at the same time. So how did he know that they were witches? Is he like hanging out at like the witch store? Like seeing what people buy?
Maybe he hangs out with that witch cop.
Well, maybe he was on a prodigy board back in 98. Like,
maybe.
I don't know, witches / us or whatever. I don't know.
Exactly, yeah.
Thepowerof3.com.
See, that's more interesting already.
He was on a witch BBS or something. I don't know. Well, he says towards the end when they pitch his voice down, he turns full demon or warlock. He mentions, oh, there's millions of us out there. He has like this wrestler promo at the end. And he's like, there are millions of us out there. You're never going to survive. So I guess there's like a whole community of warlocks out there.
So what are they? Is it just to absorb powers because they're mean? Or is it for...
It's because they're men. They're always mean.
That's true. But no, is there like a head warlock man that is after him?
I don't know.
Questions I need answered.
I think you're going to have to keep watching the show.
I don't know if I could do 8 seasons.
Maybe start your own Charmed podcast.
These questions I need answered right now.
I really don't know because you think if there's millions of them, why aren't they ruling society? They could easily. Right.
I know. That's not.
Or is it like Highlander where they then turn on each other when they run out of witches?
Why did only one of them go after three of them?
Yeah.
If there's millions of them. Like, let's get a whole horde.
Yeah.
Take out these three witches.
At least get one for each sister.
Yeah.
So is he going to like kill one sister and then go start trying to date the other ones? Like, I don't know. That seems a little weird.
He's a terrible serial killer.
Yeah, I don't. He killed five of them. He's not that bad. And they didn't catch him.
That's true. But they didn't have powers. They did have candle fingers. So I guess she could light a candle for him.
A candle finger and mixed face.
What power does Screwface give you?
If he killed the other five, what other powers did they have? Because he just showed the candle fingers.
Well, he had some sort of telekinesis because he was able to. He's like, you think chair's going to stop me?
Yep, that's true. Yeah.
So he had telekinesis. He didn't need Prue's power.
Right.
No. So again, he could have killed Piper very easily.
Right.
And not, I don't know what he was. Stop saying your plan, bad guys, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
He's kind of what, like Zachary Quinto from Heroes or something like that? He's just going around and collecting everybody's powers. And
he's like a worse version
of it. So he has candle hands, fingers, and then telekinesis.
And he has twisty face.
Swirl face.
Isn't that supposed to be just his real face?
Maybe so. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think this is supposed to be his real face. Yeah. It's very Picasso sort of esque after.
So warlocks have twisty face?
He does. Why are you judging his face?
It could be hard to. Well, if you're taking in nutrients, it's hard to consume when you have a twisty mouth. You can't really open it.
That's why he stays as Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Also, you knew he was the bad guy right away because he was way cuter, like 90s cuter than the rest of them.
What is 90s cuter?
And he wanted to go a different way home.
Never try. Like we talked about this before, like the trope in 90s shows of the factory elevator with the wooden slats.
Yeah.
Never enter one of those elevators. The 90s were fascinated with them.
Literally how you die.
Yeah, you were going to die every time. Never enter a factory, an abandoned factory. Why was she going to an abandoned factory with him?
He was going to show her something. They've been dating for 6 months.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
You trust your boyfriend.
I guess.
Right.
And I'll give him credit. He was creepy in the beginning. Like just showing up behind her in the telephone booth.
Hey.
And he's like getting an erection over her talking about food. Pizza and burgers or whatever. I wish I'd pulled that audio.
Yeah, that was really odd. Yeah. She definitely needs to hone her powers too to like keep in pros until she got all the way out of the elevator.
Yeah, that's true. You
know, listen, whatever. They get stronger the closer they're together, apparently.
An hour later, she would have done it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Overall, I think it played a lot better than I expected. I mean, despite all these complaints.
Yeah, we're just being jerks right now. Yeah. But
we are.
We're just picking
up. I mean, I watched it twice. The first pass, I thought, all right, this isn't so bad. I don't have that much to say. And I took a second pass and was like, all right, now I have some things to say. That fucking cat and the fucking Prue powers.
The coffee.
Minor quibbles. Overall, as far as 90s shows go, when you compare it to other shows of that era, I think it was pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I think it had a lot going for it, mostly the three central characters.
Yeah, they could easily draw like an audience in. Like, I would watch them. It would be really hard to go back and watch this with all those side characters, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be really hard. You know, this is also on, and I was reading this, either right after or like, but the same night as Seventh Heaven, which is really funny, which is such a like, opposite
an anathema.
Yeah. Like very very other side of the spectrum sort of show.
You also watched that show, didn't you?
I watched it a little bit here and there. Yeah,
I watched that show.
Yeah, so what had happened was Buffy had left for UPN, so Paramount Network started up. I don't remember exactly what happened with Buffy, but Buffy left for UPN and they needed some sort of magical replacement.
Right.
What had happened was The Craft had come out, Practical Magic had come out, big hits, so they decided they want to capitalize on it, so they turned to Spelling TV, which also did Seventh Heaven. And they said, make us a magic show. So this is what came out of it. So that's what they got paired together. And, I mean, you know, we can talk about it next, but this had the largest audience that WB had ever had, and they ended up getting beat by Seventh Heaven as far as total audience over time, but they were always number two, right behind Seventh Heaven. So any final thoughts before we move on to the
fun facts?
The fun facts.
Now I want to get to some fun facts.
Yeah. All right, let's have some fun after this.
Yo, what's up? This is Will Smith, Big Will in the house.
Hi, this is Madonna.
Hey, this is Lindsay Lohan.
This is Jamie Foxx.
You're listening to The Pilot Project.
Tonight on a very special Dawson's Creek.
Dawson, did you get the results of your test back?
Yeah.
Well, what'd the doctor say?
Well, he said I'm eating up with AIDS.
Oh, my God, Dawson. You don't even seem to be concerned.
Hey, Kimberly, I've beaten acne. I can beat this.
Well, do you think that I might have it?
I don't know, but all this AIDS talk has got me horny.
Oh, my God, Dawson. How can you think about sex right now?
You're right, Kimberly. I should be counting my blessings. I'm 22, hot, and I own my own creep.
Oh, Dawson, let's do it.
I knew you couldn't resist.
That's all tonight, but all new Dawson's Creek.
So the first episode of Charmed got 7.7 million viewers for its first episode, which wasn't huge for the time. I mean, keep in mind, there weren't as many. There are a lot of networks, but not as many as we have now. And it wasn't as split as it was now. But WB at the time, it was pretty good.
What day did it? Was it on?
It was like October 7th of 98.
Sorry, day of the week.
Oh, day of the week? Oh.
What's the exact date?
I don't remember.
Thursdays?
I don't know.
Probably?
Sure, Thursday. It got bounced around quite a bit. Yeah. I think it ended up being on Sundays towards the end.
Oh, that's a spot where shows die.
Well, but it was also like a leader for a lot of shows. Like Friday night of that era was a real killer. Friday and Saturday night were real killers. Whereas, you know, back in the day, Friday and Saturday were prime nights. I think like some of the bigger sitcoms of the era were on Saturday
nights. Golden Girls was a Saturday night deal.
Full House, all those. 80s, But by this time, Friday and Saturday nights had really fallen off, you know, to the club scene. You got to go drop some X guys.
Yeah, you got to go to the Candle Room, right?
Yeah, you got to cast some spells and go to the Candle Room.
Yeah.
But it was, at that time, the largest audience the WB had ever had and probably has up to this point.
Well, I mean, just compare it now. I mean, I think the CW, the equivalent nowadays, I think their biggest shows are like, I think Flash gets 3.7 million people and they consider that to be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is that, do they consider that like live, like watching?
I think that's what they basically had.
Which is a lot. Yeah. Like, because I don't watch live TV like anymore.
Yeah,
record everything.
Yeah, who does hardly? You know.
Yeah, I don't ever watch live TV unless there's a sports ball game on that I'm just watching.
Yeah, or UFC or something,
or news or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Everything else is definitely time shifted. The IMDb rating for this was 8.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter is 60% for season one. There wasn't one specific for this episode, and 96% for the audience. So the audience has really liked it.
And, see, that seems a little low.
That was over, tomato. That accounts for the critics, though. And Metacritic gave it a 61 out of 100 on
season.
See,
the critics
were
assholes like we were.
Right.
Pick it apart.
Like we were total dicks back in the day.
Yeah. Well, just the first segment we were.
Well, that's true. Yeah. And a few minutes ago. So some reviews from the time of when this first came out. So Howard Rosenberg of the LA Times says, "There's no magic, black or otherwise, in the WB's Charmed. A limp drama about three sisters who discover they are witches."
Dang.
David B. and... well, let's go to this. Alan Sepinwall, who now writes for Rolling Stone, back in the day, he was working for the Newark Star-Ledger. He said, "The problems come whenever their third sibling, played by Holly Marie Combs, is on screen. You see, Combs can actually act, and whenever she starts to emote, she gives the trashy proceedings a bit more reality than they can handle."
Wow.
See, I didn't think she was the strongest. I definitely thought Alyssa Milano was the strongest.
I agree. I think Alyssa Milano was the strongest.
And I think Shannon Doherty was perfect for the role she was in.
I don't think she's a great actress by any stretch, but I think she suited the role.
Well, I think that character Piper is the most understated because the other two are so extreme that I think that one can easily be
lost.
Because she's the peacemaker and just like, oh, I just want everybody to be happy sort of deal,
right?
Which is hard. Which she does great. It's hard to pull off, but it's the other two are so extreme and so like have such a personality that it's just way more subdued.
Which is actually mimics real life, because Milano and Doherty hated each other.
I say, didn't they fight a lot?
They did. And Piper, Holly Marie Combs, was actually kind of the peacemaker behind the scenes as well. Boy. So it was perfect. David B. and Cooley, let's see if this sentence is overwritten here, for the New York Daily News said, as Buster Poindexter once sang, they're hot, hot, hot. If Charmed gets more savvy, scary, and sexy as weeks go on, it's a good bet it will be... It's a good bet it will falling under its spell will be an easy thing to do.
Huh.
An overwrought sentence if I've ever read one.
I don't think.
And it's a good bet it will falling under its spell will be an easy thing to do.
I don't think
somebody needs
critics
to go back
to, write like that anymore.
I don't think so. Yeah. As we mentioned, it was in 98 where they wanted to capitalize on The Craft and Practical Magic, even going so far as to rip off The Craft's primary song, which was that Smith's cover.
Right.
To use it in their opening number. And they basically wanted to create a replacement for Buffy. It was originally set in Boston when they hired Constance Burge to write it. She set it originally in Boston about some roommates, and it was going to be called House of Sisters.
No, that's awful.
And then Aaron Spelling came along and changed things and said it should be called Charmed. Came up with Charmed.
Yeah.
And an executive producer said it should really be a show that's about family values and sisters who happen to be witches, not witches who happen to be sisters. So they eventually found a middle ground and moved
it
to San
Francisco. That's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah. I think Aaron Spelling, I mean, whether or not you care for his shows, the man was a producing genius.
Yep.
And he always managed to craft a really well-honed product, and I think he found that middle ground.
I did watch 90210, so I've been exposed
I
to him.
I did not.
Yeah.
Really? You didn't watch any of it? Did you watch Melrose Place or Party of Five? Or
I feel like I was
those.
A couple years younger than probably with that target audience.
More like
for
Gossip Girl, Pretty Little Liars.
No, that's too old for me, too.
A little too,
That's a little
too old for you. That was
2010. When was
that? So it was past your time. I think Pretty Liars, because...
I didn't watch Pretty... That's still on.
Is it really? Holly Marie Combs was on Pretty Little Liars, too.
Is that? Started
in 2010.
I
don't know. I have no idea. I don't watch it. I have no idea.
I don't either.
I just know it's one
thing Mark did not watch.
Yeah, it's one... Yes, yeah. Let's see. So at the time, the special effects were considered pretty cutting edge, as terrible as we see them now. And every episode cost about $2 million to produce.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So at some point, Alyssa Milano is supposed to gain the ability to fly or levitate.
Oh, no.
They all develop secondary mutations, as I like to call them. So I think it's Prue gets astral projection at one point. Phoebe's supposed to gain the ability to levitate, which, like, what does that serve? Like, if you can hover 2 inches off the ground, who cares?
Right.
I don't remember what Piper's secondary power was, but they all had something else. And I think Prue becomes, like, a martial arts fighter at some point, of course.
Yeah.
Because she's the tough one. Go ahead. Kaylee Cuoco, Eric Dane, who was one of the McSteamy McDreamy doctors on Grey's Anatomy, John Hamm, Billy Zane, and a bunch of others.
Oh, my goodness.
All appeared on Charmed at one point or another.
Watch those shows.
You should. Like, you should go back. Again, Charmed cast. You should go back and start it up.
If you were someone of The Craft, this would be right up your alley.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's hard to watch it with, like, the perspective of TV now, because TV is so good now.
Yeah.
Sometimes better than movies, really.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could go back non-biased and watch it without just being snarky.
It's probably impossible.
Or bored. Like, I think, like, the plot, it's at least if for the first few seasons, like you said, if it's a monster of the week, I would get bored really fast.
I think it's probably fun as background TV. Like, there are shows I'll put on, like Star Trek I'll put on now. It's that, because that's monster of the week. And, like, some of those early seasons of, like, TNG are like, oy vey, getting through these episodes.
Those are bad. The first season's bad of that.
As I mentioned earlier, they did have an actual supposed demonologist on staff, and they made him an executive story editor, Robert Masello, because they wanted his experience about how a demon would behave in real life. They said, as we said earlier, Combs said, they never wanted to follow real Wicca for fear they wouldn't get it right because of technicalities, and they wanted a more fantasy approach.
So they got a male to be on there for the male ones, for the male demons, but we can't get a Wiccan consult for the actual main characters who practice witchcraft. Gotcha. Plus,
what a nice bullshit title anyway. Oh, I know how real demons will act. Yeah. Real life. Come on.
Yeah.
I want that job.
I love his experience with real life. Okay. All right. As we mentioned, there was original Phoebe, Laurie Rom. She left for personal reasons. They didn't really ever say why she left. I don't know if it's ever been let out. And the cop, we talked about it earlier, but the generic cop at the end, he left after season one because he didn't like the vibe on the set.
I'm sure.
Another fun fact, the Book of Shadows weighed 9 pounds and was entirely hand-painted.
Wow.
It was the most valuable prop they had on set. And then we get into the real drama of the show. So, as we mentioned, Milano and Doherty hated each other. And I think that really came out for the positive during the show. Because I think their...
At least in the pilot, it worked really
animosity,
well.
Their antipathy towards each other, I think it really worked on screen for how they were supposed to feel towards each other. They claimed that they were really close, like, during season one off, you know, behind the scenes. But that, apparently, because Milano was the more popular actress on the show, she started getting sponsorship deals, and a lot, and Doherty was not enjoying that same success, so she got jealous of Milano, and there were times where they wouldn't talk to each other.
Wasn't Alyssa Milano more known anyway? I mean, even
well,
going to that?
I mean,
I guess maybe 90210, Shannon Doherty came off of that. Maybe she thought she'd be bigger, but...
Well, she was known. She was like the bad girl of the 90s, yeah. Doherty was.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean, she gotten fired or left 90210 because she was having the same problems with Jenny Garth. Like, they were... She got into physical fights, drunk fests, I mean, drunken driving.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like the 90s bad girl. And so I think that Milano probably enjoyed this kind of opposite take, I guess, as an actress or a person.
The good one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if the internet existed when she was running amok.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Right? Because if it's, I mean, it probably would be way different.
Yeah.
I feel like this back part of the show would be like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They'd have to be way more subdued about it because that stuff gets out.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really easily.
Yeah, it would be all over TMZ. It'd be every day.
Or it'd draw more ratings.
Yeah,
also, yeah, that's true.
People would watch
that's
it.
That's true. Yeah, so the other problem Doherty had was after season two, she felt they were doing the same episode over and over again, the Demon of the Week. And yes. So she got tired of that and wanted to do something different, which is why she got frustrated.
That makes sense.
Yeah. As I said, Holly Marie Combs was playing the Peacemaker on the show as a character and as an actress. And she said that she doesn't blame any one person. No one person was at fault. Everybody had their good days and their bad days. And Milano said, there were times when I'd come in and say, good morning, Shannon, and she didn't say anything to me. And then there were times when she'd come in and say, good morning, Alyssa, and I wouldn't say anything to her. So,
like real sisters.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, they did make up once Shannon Doherty got breast cancer in 2013. They finally made up and made their peace. But, yeah, it only took like 10 years.
And then Rose McGowan and her.
Oh, God.
Arguments as well.
Oh, yeah. Did you put that in here?
No, I forgot to do
that. Oh, yeah. So maybe we can talk about that some next week. But so apparently it got so bad at one point that Paramount, who was the producing studio for this, other than Spelling TV, they had to send in a mediator.
And
apparently that only made things worse because the three of them together all felt that it was none of the mediator's business. And so they wanted to work that. But so that at that point, things took an even worse turn. And Doherty said Milano gave Paramount an ultimatum that she would leave or Doherty would. Milano says that never happened. And Holly Marie Combs says the same thing. She says Doherty asked to be released from her contract. And Spelling Productions initially refused, but they eventually dismissed her after she had just directed the season three finale, where in the end of that, she gets attacked by this assassin demon and is killed. But of course, in sci-fi shows, you know, there's always room to come back.
Right.
But she never came back.
Wow.
And none of the fans never knew why. And really, the three actresses claimed they were never, ever really told why she was dismissed in the end, despite all that we know about. They never really knew the real reason. Some insiders say that it was because she had gotten fired from 90210 and 90210 was fine, that they continued that through with Charmed and also a Spelling Production, both of them were, that they could continue with Milano and without Doherty.
That's what I was going to say. I figured Spelling Productions would be used to her BS at that point. So they should have expected that.
Like, they know what they're getting into.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Doherty was replaced by Rose McGowan, as we talked about, as the new sister Paige. But other contenders for the role were Jennifer Love Hewitt, Salome Moon Frye, Punky Brewster, Eliza Dushku, Faith from Buffy, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Wow.
So some really
that would have been a weird
90s mega.
Some Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
In there.
Although she had just been on 90210 also, and wasn't, I know Alyssa Milano was on Party of, no, but she was in Melrose Place. Before Charmed.
I think they just all make their rounds.
Yeah, the...
Like, they do, like...
The Spelling Carousel.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the... like, those teen movies now, like, the young adult novels. Like, they'll play siblings in one movie, and then the next movie, they're, like, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
They just all make their rounds.
Wasn't Jennifer Love Hewitt in Party of Five?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. You're right.
Wasn't that her big break?
Yeah, I think so.
The interesting thing was, like, I'm surprised they picked Rose McGowan. She was not a good actress at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know about now, but she was... I remember her being terrible on Charmed. Like, why would you pick her over Jennifer Love Hewitt, who I would say had way more like cultural cachet at that point.
Eliza Dushku is a better actress too.
Yeah, or Tiffany Thiessen, like way more cultural cachet than. I mean, what's the movie that I can't think of? I always think of it's not Heather's, the one that Rose McGowan did, Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Like hadn't that just come out? And around that,
that
time,
that was an early aughts.
Yeah,
that
was early aughts. Later. Yeah.
I was in 99
because
okay.
I was working in a movie theater and I remember a lot of things that were at that time.
So, I mean, I know she had some cachet, but not as much as some others. Now, I understand picking her over Salome and Fry, maybe, but she had seen better days, or, you know, around Punky days. So, after Charm, Doherty didn't have a lot of success. She was in some reality shows. She had breast cancer. She was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Let's
watch that pilot.
Dancing with the Stars.
No, let's not do that.
She eventually popped up on the 90210 sequel series in 2008. And she did a reality show with Holly Marie Combs in 2015 on Great American Country, that network, where they traveled the Southeast and did activities that were voted on by viewers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, ran for 6 episodes. And then most recently, she was cast in the TV series adaptation of Heathers as the mother of one of the Heathers. But, of course, for those who don't know, she was in the original Heathers movie. But that show never aired because of the Parkland shootings, because it was a very, very dark show. I think it had something to do with mass shootings.
It's also a musical.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well, the Heathers movie, I'm not really surprised based on...
Yeah, I guess it makes sense, but it never aired. I think you can still watch that pilot somewhere, but... maybe we can do that at some point if we can find it. So Holly Marie Combs, after Shannon Doherty left, she became the producer of Charmed, and she became the Prue character, basically. She became the kind of upfront mother figure that Prue was supposed to be. She kind of became the central, and she was the only actress to appear in every episode of the show. Only actor, I should say. And, she
was Alyssa Milano not in it?
Well, that's what I was saying. Is like towards the end, apparently, Kayla Cuoco came in as the young witch.
Oh, right.
That gave them, supposedly that was to give actors vacation time. Yeah. And I guess Holly Marie Combs, she was just a workhorse and kept working through her episode.
I will be here.
Right.
And then she went on to star in Pretty Little Liars from 2010 to 2017. Alyssa Milano also didn't do a ton after Charmed, mostly guest work on TV shows and small parts of movies until she landed a spot on My Name is Earl. And then she did a show for 2 seasons called Mistresses, and then became a judge and the host of Project Runway All-Stars, which she's still doing. And she's got a new show on Netflix called Insatiable that just got a second season. I don't know what it's about.
Oh, is that the one that has all the controversy around
it? Yeah, it is.
Oh, really? I'm
like
not aware of this.
Overweight girl, and then she wakes up and she's skinny, and now she's popular.
Yeah, so like fat shaming or something?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've heard the controversy around it. I don't know anything about the actual show or anything, but
And she also claims that her management, she recently sued them because she claims that they are millions in debt now because of her management was taking out like credit lines in her and her husband's name. They had they have access to all their money.
Wow.
So they were like stealing, diverting funds and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wonderful.
So T.W. King, who played he goes by Ted King now, but he was the Gennaro cop. He left the show after one season because either one of two reasons. Either Doherty made the network fire him or because of the vibe on set. I saw both reasons. And then he went on to do guest roles on just about every major procedural out there. NCIS, CSI, JAG, Law & Order, Elementary, and most recently Hawaii Five-0.
Hey,
boy.
That fits the generic cop role.
It does. It really does. And the other guy, I thought I had him on here. Dorian Gregory, he did seven seasons of Charmed until they reduced the budget so much that they forced him out. And then he's appeared here and there on various shows. He hasn't worked a lot.
So if you get booted off of Charmed and you're a cop, you can go to NCIS, apparently.
Yeah, apparently you can be in a lot of procedurals. The creator, Constance Burr, she wrote 7 episodes for season 1 and 2, but ended up leaving the show because she had a lot of disagreements with the showrunner, Brad Kern, who ended up writing most of the episodes. And then, as we said earlier, he ended up changing the direction of the show to be more serialized, which I think, again, makes more sense. So now we're moving on to the reboots. So next week, we're going to tackle the 2018 reboot, which is 20 years after the original, but I should mention that there was a reboot in 2013, but it never got filmed. So it was for CBS. And then the new one is from the showrunner of Jane the Virgin, which I know my wife likes.
Yeah.
And
it's a good show.
It's going to focus on the, I think, better named Macy, Mel, and Maggie in a fictional town called Hilltown, generic. And it's also supposed to be heavily feminist, yay feminism. They're still keeping the telekinesis and the time freezing, but the premonition has been changed to telepathy. Makes more sense. And it will air exactly 20 years after the original. So... show's premiering in 1998, Dawson's Creek, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, Ryan Reynolds' debut, Sex in the City, That 70s Show, Pokemon, Felicity, Will and Grace, and VIP, which will be a future pilot project contender, Pamela Anderson vehicle.
Is the new one, is it the same Is it just the same idea? Or are they like...
It's the same.
But it's not going to be like a carbon copy of like... I guess we'll have to watch it.
I hope
but...
the pilot's the exact same. Yeah. Warlock and everything.
Yeah. Where's Jeremy? Is all I want to know.
Yeah. I hope there is a Jeremy.
Hopefully
sure.
Jeremy's in it as the
and
father
his name
of the.
Yeah. Is Chad.
Of course.
Instead of Jeremy.
Or Caden.
Yeah. Yes.
Caden or Braden.
Right.
Shows ending in 1988. The Secret World of Alex Mack. Bobby's yes. World. Team Knight Rider. Future pilot project episode. Singled Out with Chris Hardwick and Jane McCarthy. Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, and Seinfeld. Of course, I remember very well watching the Seinfeld finale at Dustin's house back in the day.
Being very disappointed, yes.
Being very, very frustrated.
Did they end up in jail?
They did.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right. In the end.
Wait, what was the one? Chris Hardwick and who?
Jenny McCarthy. They had a dating show called Single Out.
That TV show.
I think at that time it was Carmen Electra and Chris Hardwick at the very end.
Was it?
No. Yeah. Back when he had hair drapes still.
Secret World of Alex Mack would be great, too.
That was a great show.
I liked that show.
Yeah, I did, too.
I watched that show.
I
was probably a little too old to be watching that, but that and Clarissa Explains It All.
Oh, my God. I love that show.
I did watch Bobby's World.
Bobby's World was great.
Yeah.
With Howie Mandel. Yeah.
Yep.
That was great. I'm not a big fan of Howie Mandel, but that show was great.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts on Charmed before we move on to 2018 next week?
I think the graphics for 2018 is going to be just as bad, but a different
story. That would be enjoyable, actually.
Yeah. It's just because the standard for just graphics now is so high, and that I just don't think they're gonna have the money. But I actually didn't mind the graphics from the 98 version for what it was.
Yeah,
it really wasn't that bad for being 98, but I just, unless you have like HBO Dragon money, like it's probably gonna be bad,
you know. Though the CW, is this on CW or
yeah, CW. Yeah.
The superhero shows they do are not terrible.
No,
like,
they're not
like the Flash graphics and some of the,
except when Flash is running, like they do the slow Flash running thing, and the
he
gets all Rubber Man.
But I'm saying even like Supergirl flying looks fine, and like I don't know, they might be able to pull it off.
They might be able to. I mean, special effects have gotten so much cheaper to produce.
Yeah,
now.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. The only I think the worst thing they do is Flash slow mo running.
Yeah.
And he turns all like Gumby like. It's still really bad.
That part's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to stop doing that crap. Yeah. Just make him run fast.
Yeah.
Dustin, any final thoughts on Charmed 98?
It was better than I expected, for sure. I thought it was going to be really terrible, and only the second half was kind of bad. But overall, and again, I think a lot of it speaks to what Angela said. It's really hard to go back and look at things from the late 90s with so much good TV. Even like the lower end TV now is so much better than the good TV in 98.
Right.
That it's just really hard, unless you're watching a sitcom or something, that you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, so for what it was, it was actually a lot better than I expected, and probably one of the better pilots we've reviewed. It's probably top two, top three, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought the premise was fine, and I could see it having potential to run at least a few seasons. I feel like eight's probably too long for eight's too long for almost any show, especially when you're going 22 episodes.
Like Supernatural's on season 14 right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy's on 15.
Oh, God. Kill that show, please.
Both of those shows probably.
And that one also has like long seasons too. It's not a short season show.
Are you a member of the Grey's Anatomy cast?
No, I had to stop after. It's too much.
I gave it two seasons.
It's the worst hospital ever. Like, the amount of bad things that happened at that hospital, I would never want to go there.
And none of the original actors are on there anymore, right?
She is.
Oh, really?
And there's like three or four that are still there.
The Dreamies and Steamies are all gone, right?
Yeah, they're all dead.
Oh,
they're not
really?
All gone. They are all dead.
Wow.
Okay. That is a bad
hospital.
But
there's new ones now, apparently.
Okay. McDreamy 2?
Yeah.
McDreamy Jr.
Yeah. As long as that show's been going, his son could probably show up on there as a doctor.
It's true. That's true. Yeah, I think I was pleasantly surprised by the show. I think the inevitable comparison is Buffy, of course, because they're kind of the same genre. Feminist
same
shows,
network,
magic.
Same level of quality.
So, yeah, it's the same level of quality. I think Buffy had a little more going for it. I think it had fewer plot holes in the magic realm.
Yeah.
I think that overall, as far as cast energy goes, I mean, they're very different, but I think they worked equally well. And I think what makes this show work, as we mentioned, was the three primary actresses. Everybody else is a throwaway in the show.
Buffy didn't have, as I recall, I haven't watched a lot of it, but I think I've seen the first couple seasons. The supporting cast wasn't near as bad as it is.
No, it wasn't. They definitely had a better supporting cast.
Yeah.
Everybody in the show was throwaway except for the three main actresses.
Yeah.
But that's what makes the show, is the three of them. And so they got it right. So I'll give them that credit.
True.
I mean, it's it does, I will say, has a, you know, to use a pun, it does have a certain charm to it. The three of them. So I think that's what makes the show.
Cut the rim shot there.
I think, as I mentioned, Milano and Doherty's hate for each other, I think, really works in the show. And I think it's actually what kind of makes the show, because it's kind of, you can feel the hate for each other.
Yeah.
It makes that relationship work. You know, because it's not the plot details or the special effects that really make the show work.
Or the supporting cast.
Or the supporting cast, yeah.
They could recast them all for the second episode, and I would have no idea.
It's
they
true.
Were recasted. Or mix up the parts.
Like, you would know who was who?
Nope, would have no idea who was who.
I still don't know what which cop's name is or funny cop's name is. I have no idea. I only know Roger because they say Roger several times.
I think those are good names for them. And Jeremy.
And Jeremy. Yeah. Jeremy.
How can you forget Jeremy?
Such a 90s name, Jeremy.
Yeah.
So are you looking forward to the 2018 remake next week?
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. Remakes are hard.
Cautiously optimistic, I should say.
Because they have been a cash grab recently. Yeah. Like, Roseanne, well, not that one anymore. But
the
Full
Connors.
House. Yeah. Full House and all that stuff. Hopefully they go... Hopefully they just do the spirit of the original and not try to do literally the exact same thing with the exact same beats.
Right.
Like, if the younger sister's, like, in LA and then she's home, you know, it's just, that would be silly. Like, go with the spirit of the original, but still do your own thing.
Fair enough.
I wonder if any of these three are going to make any appearances.
You know, they are.
Yeah. I would assume
so.
That seems to be what they do now. For these reboots. But,
like an aunt or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like, I'm surprised one of them isn't like the mother.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, or whatever. But
I'm surprised they didn't just make it a sequel series and have
the daughters.
This be the new generation.
Yeah.
Like,
true.
You know, maybe they, I don't know, Piper has three kids and these are the...
Ooh, what if they show up and they're evil?
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool.
That would actually be neat.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, Angela, anything you want? Is there anything on Central Track you want to point people towards?
Just always go read it. I don't have anything currently up, though. I am going to go see Predator. That's already out. Venom. That's what I was going to say in a couple weeks. So look for that. Oh, no, that will be
out.
By the time you hear this,
Venom review will be out. Yes.
Yes.
I know. It's this whole time shifting thing.
Yes. Venom.
Time shifting is hard. All right. We'll catch you guys next week for the reboot of Charmed with 2018. The Pilot Project is produced by Mark Hudson and Dustin Taylor. We have new episodes every Friday. Email us at pilotprojectpod@gmail.com or find us on social channels as @pilotprojectpod. Links to subscribe to this show for free and links to the TV shows we watch can be found in this episode's show notes or on our website at pilotprojectpod.com.
Thank you for tuning into The Pilot Project.
I'm loving this show.
We hope you enjoyed the show. See you next episode.